And it's good to remember that God is good. And tonight, I just want to say a couple comments about the goodness of the Lord. And I want to take them from Psalm 118, which we've been studying on Sunday morning, and we'll speak again on this Lord's Day. But just as we sang from Psalm 136, we have in the opening verses of the psalm this call to give thanks with this repeated statement, the Lord for his good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And that's repeated through the fourth verse. And then in verse 5, for my distress I called upon the Lord, and they answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. And the things I just wanted to highlight this evening, very briefly, is the one reason why we can give thanks is because God is for us. And He's for us in a strange way, as I said even this last Sunday. You know, you go through life and people promise you all sorts of things, and they mean well. Their intentions are sincere. At the moment that they say them, that they really mean it, but then many times they don't follow through for a variety of reasons. Maybe their circumstances changed, or they just forgot, or whatever. But that's just the way we are. That's part of just being human. But as we remind ourselves regularly here, God is God and we are not. God is not like us. And one of the ways in which He is not like us is He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His loving kindnesses is everlasting. And the word loving kindness is that Hebrew word hesed, covenant faithfulness, covenant love, covenant mercies. God's made us promises. He didn't have to promise anything, right? Well, I kind of promised Adam in the garden. I made a promise that wasn't all that good of a promise or a positive promise. The day you eat of the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden, you will die. And God kept that promise. But shortly after that, as you all know, He made another promise that He said, I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And God makes these promises. The Bible's full of promises. One of the very first things I ever bought as a new Christian was a little booklet that many of you probably had similar things. Had special tape you could stick in the back of your Bible, this little booklet. And it was all these promises that God had given to His people. And God makes promises. There's a man who I read a lot in my early college years as a Christian, and Walter Kaiser. And Walter Kaiser wrote several books in terms built upon the idea of promise. And they were very helpful books. And one day Walter Kaiser was at a conference with a bunch of theologians, and he said, and someone said to Kaiser, for a scholar of your caliber, I was amazed in this new book that you have on the promises of God, how many times words were misspelled in your book. He said, what do you mean there's words that were misspelled in my book? He said, well, you kept talking about the promises of God, but the promises of God are spelled C-O-V-E-A-N-T, covenant. God has made covenants. Of course, the man was just having a good laugh with Kaiser. But the promises of God are not just random promises. They're part of a covenant. And you remember in Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, when God says that I will make your children more numerous than the stars of the sky. He says, well, how do I know that these things will be true? And God had him gather together that menagerie of animals and cut them in two. And you know the story. We've rehearsed it, that part of making a covenant in the Old Testament was to literally to cut the covenant. And two people would walk through. They'd take an animal, they'd slice it in half. And the two people making the covenant walk between the animal that's now cut in two. And And they're both saying, by this act, that may it be done unto me as it was done to this animal, if I do not fulfill my part of the covenant. But you remember the story in Genesis 15, after Adam had pulled together all these animals and cut them in two and set them just to right for the covenant cutting ceremony, God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Abraham. His name was Abram at the time. And God appeared to Abram in a vision, in a dream, as a big burning torch, and the torch alone passed through between the parts of the animals, symbolizing that God, like he had said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I will fulfill this covenantal promise. And that's really what the opening verses of Psalm 118 are stating. We can give thanks because God is not like anyone else in the world. Our good friends that promise us things, family members who promise us things, employers who promise us things, and they mean well and they're sincere at the moment. But because things change, they change, whatever, the promise changes and they don't fulfill it for whatever reason, and many of them are legitimate reasons, but not so with God. When he promises something, he fulfills it. And he says, as I read or mentioned earlier in verse 6, the Lord is for me. I was mentioning to Chris just before the service started, I was on a phone call, literally just on my way up here, with a good, I would say a friend. I don't know if it's a good friend, but someone that has been important to me in my life in terms of shaping my understanding of things like the Sabbath. And they're going through a difficult time, a trial in their life, pretty significant trial. And one of the things that they have mentioned is that how many of their friends have disappeared. Lifetime friends that are gone in the midst of the trial. And I was thankful that we could talk. And I said to them, you know, there's not a lot that I can do for you but pray for you, but know that if there's anything I can do, I'll be happy to do it. I mean, if I can. But even that's kind of a weak, feeble promise, isn't it? It's easy to say that over them. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. If it's something I can do, I'll be there, you know. And then they get the phone call. Well, you know. But God is not like that. The Lord is for me. Among those who help me. Verse 7. Verse 6, the Lord is for me, I will not fear. Verse 7, the Lord is for me among those who help me. And here in the Hebrew poetry, it's being repeated to stress the fact that the Lord is for us. Doesn't mean that things will always go well. Doesn't mean that there won't be trials and difficulties, tribulation, sickness, death. But no matter what happens, the Lord is for us. And that's a reason to give thanks. Because so many people in the world, that's not true. They have no one. They have no church family. They have no good friends. They don't have a heavenly Father who loves them. I've referenced an old Phil Keaggy song. Some of you probably remember who Phil Keaggy is. Some of you, that's a name that means nothing to you. But he was a Christian musician, very popular in the 80s, maybe late 70s, 80s. He was missing a middle finger on his guitar plucking hand. Middle finger was gone. I don't know how he lost it, but it was just a stub. And so if you know anything about guitar playing, picking with one middle, with missing a finger, that's a difficult thing. And yet, he was rated as one of the top classical guitarists and rock and roll guitarists in the world. Could pick very complex patterns, even though he was missing a finger. Those that I knew who were pretty serious guitar players said, you could tell. If you really were good, you could tell. But for the common guy, you'd listen, oh, wow, how could you do that? But anyway, it's not about Mr. Kagi. It's about a song he wrote where these birds, and this, he's singing the song, and the song, the birds are singing, and the birds are sitting in the trees, and they're looking at men and women and mankind, and the birds are answering back and forth to each other going, what's wrong with these people? Why do they worry so much? Don't they have a heavenly Father like we have to care for us and to provide us food and to love us? God is for us. And I don't know what's going on in your life this hour. Maybe you are very thankful and have many reasons to be joyful. Maybe your heart is heavy and things are difficult and you don't know what tomorrow will bring, but you have a level of anxiety over what tomorrow will bring. The psalmist reminds us as we move towards Thanksgiving tomorrow that we have a legitimate reason to give thanks. God's love is consistent. It never changes. What he's promised, he will do. And what he's promised, he's done. He's promised because he is for us. And whatever the circumstances that come, he remains for us. There's nothing that we need to fear. And there's no one else that will help quite like he will, because he alone is for us. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of that. As we read the Word and we study history and biographies and our theology, as we go about the days of our lives and the circumstances and the routine, the mundane things of life, whether you're new parents with little ones or you're old and your mind isn't working as quickly. I'm amazed how I was talking to Chris. I knew who I wanted to tell him. I just talked to on the phone, but I couldn't even think of his name. And I couldn't think of a guy from my seminary. It just doesn't come like it used to. It's there. It just takes a little longer to percolate up. Doesn't matter where you are in your life, whether you're young or old, married or single, with kids are gone, whatever the circumstances, God loves us. God is for us. And as Jesus says in the closing words of the Gospel of Matthew, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. And sometimes we just need to remember that. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much and you have made promises and that love, promises that you will fulfill because your loving kindness is everlasting, it will not end. And in that love and with those promises, you are for us. Not necessarily to give us what we want, not necessarily to give us what we think we need, but to give us that which will prepare us as your children, to live in your presence, to your glory for all of eternity. Thank you, Lord, that you are for us, and so therefore we need not fear. Thank you, Lord, that you are for us, therefore we need to seek no other help. Thank you, Lord, that we know that no matter where we are, no matter what takes place, you are always by our side. Your love for us never ends. It overflows in fullness, and you always whisper in our ear that you are for us. Thank you for these things. In Christ we pray. Amen.